Just so you know, God is pretty amazing because I'm a UT fan and my wife is an OU fan. So the fact that we met and still love each other is pretty amazing. It's really funny, you know, God is good. And He takes care of us and He does things in our life that we might not expect. I didn't expect to marry an Oklahoma girl, but I did bring her back to Texas as quickly as possible. I like to tell people, I went to Oklahoma and got the best thing out of Oklahoma and brought it back to Texas. But God does amazing things. He does things in our life that we don't expect, that maybe we're not ready for, but He says, guess what? You're going to do it. And He teaches us through those things. And when Greg asked me to speak, and he said, we're doing our favorite Bible story, your Bible character. Jeremiah was the first thing that came to my mind because they're all good, right? And so I just kind of picked the first one that came to the mind. And Jeremiah was kind of on my heart because Jeremiah is, to me, now let me say that, to me, the most successful preacher ever. And you might, if you know a little bit about Jeremiah, Jeremiah preached for a long time and no one ever turned back to God. He never baptized anybody. But to me, he's still one of the most successful preachers because he did what God told him to do, even when it was hard. It's easy to talk about Jesus when it gives you warm fuzzies, right? It's easy to talk about Jesus when we talk about just the things that we receive from Jesus and all those things, but he did it even when it was difficult. Even when he was being persecuted, he still did it. But the cool thing about Jeremiah is that he had a struggle. And that struggle is revealed throughout the book of Jeremiah. It's also why we have the book of Lamentations, him lamenting people not listening. It's okay for preachers to complain. That's what I get out of that. I'm just kidding. I did think for a long time, I was like, why did God put this in here? And I think it's important because I think it's important that we acknowledge our struggle, but then acknowledge who God is in it. I'll stop talking, and if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Earlier I said God does things even when we don't expect it. And he kind of says, you're going to do this whether you like it or not. That's kind of what he did with Jeremiah. And Jeremiah talks about this and recounts his interaction with God in Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 4. We'll go ahead and get the best sermon first. Actually, I already did, by the way, in the scripture reading. He says, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then Jeremiah says, oh, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send, you shall go, and whatever I command, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. I'm going to stop there. This is one of those things that I come back to, because the command that God gives Jeremiah is the same command that he gives us. Is it not? In Matthew 28:18-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. It's the same command. And it's the same God that gives the command. And God gives this amazing command, and he gives power to Jeremiah. If you think about it, when he says, you know, before you were in the womb, I knew you. Now, this is God, the one who created us in his image. says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I even knit you in your mother's womb, I already knew who you were. And that means a lot, doesn't it? Because he knew Jeremiah's shortcomings. He knew Joey's shortcomings. He knew that, you know, sometimes I'm insecure about a lot of things. I don't know why I'm a preacher then, but I'm insecure about a lot of things. He knew that I was going to fall flat on my face. He knew I was going to be good at some things. But he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And then he says, and before you were, I set you apart. I consecrated you. I knew you, and even though I knew your shortcomings, I set you apart. And I appointed you to a prophet to the nations. So he tells Jeremiah, I knew you, I set you apart, and I gave you a purpose. Now, for me, I'm like, why would you do that? Why? And the same struggle that Jeremiah has, because he says right here, he says, Lord, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. You know, God does all this for us too, doesn't he? I mean, before we were knit in our mother's womb, he knew us. And he set us apart in Christ, right? We are consecrated and set apart in Christ. And he gave us a purpose to go be Jesus, to go bring him glory. He did all those things for us. And even more than that, he lives inside of us. His spirit lives inside of us. He's given us all these things. But just like Jeremiah, I go, but wait. I'm too young. Or maybe if you're on the other side of the spectrum, well, I'm not young enough. Jeremiah brings his insecurity, which isn't the first time someone has done this, right? I mean, Moses did it. This is free. But have you ever thought about this? Moses had the best schools, the best education, but then he said, I'm not eloquent. He's making it up an insecurity so he doesn't have to carry out God's will. We ever do that? You ever giving yourself an excuse? Well, I'm not good at that. And God says, I made you. And so we can excuse ourselves from doing God's will. Now, God doesn't give Jeremiah that option. And the truth is, he doesn't really give us that option. It doesn't matter what excuse or what we come up with. God says what? Go and tell people about me. Go be me. Whoever you come in contact with, you go be me. And God tells Jeremiah, do not say that you're too young or that you're not mature enough. Do not say I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. You're going to go where I want you to go, is what God's telling Jeremiah. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. You're going to go where I tell you to go, and you're going to say what I tell you to say. At this point, if it was my dad talking, you know what I'd say? Yes, sir. And then the Lord put in his mouth the words he wanted him to say. Then the Lord put on his hand and touched, the Lord put out his hand, excuse me, and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, and to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Now God put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. Now, you'd think it would be some amazing sermon, right? It wouldn't be the sermon I would want to preach. Because he's going to preach to Judah. God's going to deal with you and it's not going to be fun. Return to God or God's going to deal with you. He will destroy you. Now, that's not the warm, fuzzy sermon I want to preach. But here's the thing about Jeremiah. As you go through the rest of the book, what does he do? He does it. To me, that makes him the most successful preacher there is. Because even when it's difficult, he does what God commands. Now, how does he do that? is my question. Anyone want to know? Because I struggle. I mean, I can preach really well when it's easy. And when it's what I want to do. And when oil's good, right? I'm glad someone laughed at my joke. Okay. But what about when it's difficult? What about when you're being persecuted? How do I keep doing God's will? And this is why Jeremiah's my favorite. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah is in... my mind just went blank. Those things where you do this. Stocks, right? Okay, here we go. But he's in stocks. He's being persecuted. He has said the hard sermon, and he got fired. Okay? And he's frustrated. And to me, he's frustrated, and it's okay to be frustrated. Because Jeremiah was frustrated. But it's within his frustration that he does something else. Look at the text. He says, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all the day long." He's like, God, you tricked me into this deal. This is not easy. Every time I speak, it causes more problems. And I'm tired of it. Anyone ever been there? Or even scarier, have you not been there? Sometimes I read this and I think, maybe I ought to do a little more. Because, you know, I'm not persecuted. I mean, I've got it pretty easy. Maybe no one knows I'm a Christian. Maybe I need to do a little bit more. And that's free. I'm preaching to myself. Y'all are just here for the party. But just to think, man, I'm tired. I'm worn out. God, I don't see the point in this. I don't see why I'm doing this. I mean, I think we've all been there. And since Greg put room for notes now, here's the first point. To acknowledge the problem. It's okay to acknowledge the problem or acknowledge the struggle. Sometimes I think we don't acknowledge the struggle and we just keep on going. But I think if Jeremiah did it, I think it's okay for us to acknowledge the problem. And to say, okay, I'm tired and wore out. And God, why am I doing this? This is kind of free. And I read this today, though. You know, I read a thing that said, you know, I stopped complaining. Or no, yeah. I stopped complaining because I didn't need sympathy. I started praying because I needed strength. Jeremiah, he acknowledges the problem. It's okay to acknowledge the problem. It's okay to share and say, man, I'm having this struggle. Please help me, God. And to acknowledge the struggle so you can move on from the struggle. Jeremiah acknowledges that. And I'll read it one more time. "O Lord, you deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and I become a laughingstock all the day. For whenever I speak out, I cry out. I shout violence and destruction, for the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all the day long." But here's my favorite part. He says, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in me, in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary from holding it in. I cannot." You know, it's okay to acknowledge the struggle or the problem, but here's the second point. But remember your passion for God. Remember your passion for God and who God is. Jeremiah says, you know, I'm tired, I'm wore out, but if I don't talk about God, if I don't do God's will, it's a fire shut up in my bones, and I grow tired of wearing it in, or I grow weary of holding it in. I can't get all my words out fast enough. I grow weary from holding it in. He says, I tried to stop and I couldn't. And you see Jeremiah's passion there, and he's preaching a bad sermon. It's the sermon that God wants. He's teaching a tough sermon. Let me rephrase that. But he says, I have a passion for God, and it's okay to have passion for God. Amen? Sometimes I think we forget our passion. We lose passion, not because we're busy doing a lot of things, but maybe it's because we forget why we have passion. We forget the why. Jeremiah says, you know, I tried to quit, but I couldn't. I couldn't quit. Could you imagine what a fire shut up in your bones would feel like? I've got a sister-in-law that has fibromyalgia. And hopefully I'll never meet her. Well, I won't tell that story. Okay. But she's like, I can kind of relate to that. It's just constant pain. But even then, a fire shut up in your bones. A desire, a passion of, to do God's will so much that it's torture not to do it. That's what, another reason why I think Jeremiah is the most successful preacher ever. Because he did it when it was difficult, and yet he didn't just do it. He had a passion to do it, even when it was hard. Even when it was difficult. And he tried to stop. And he said, I couldn't stop. You ever stop trying to glorify God? You're like, I'm done. Hopefully you haven't. But if you've ever been to that point where you're so wore out and you're so tired and you just, oh man, I can't. But it comes back, doesn't it? He says, I tried and I couldn't. I'm tired of trying to hold it in anymore. I kind of equate it, and this is my last analogy. But to my oldest son, Julius, will not be quiet. I guess he gets it from his daddy. But that was a joke. Okay. But like, it doesn't matter what he's talking about. He just has to talk. I guess he gets that also from his daddy. But he's just so, you know, he gets so excited. So excited. Today, I didn't bring him with me. My youngest son is blind. And so I didn't want to bring a five-year-old blind child to a place I'd never been. And then have to drive back late. So I got them a babysitter, and they were going to one of their favorite people's house. And I purposefully didn't tell Julius until like 30 minutes before we left. Because for that 30 minutes, I heard about it. They were going to a lady, her name's Amanda, and they call her Miss Panda. And it's just, they started when they were younger and it stuck, you know, one of those deals. Hey, when are we going to Miss Panda's house? What are we going to have over there? Is Bo going to be there? And I'm just like, this is why I don't tell you things. But then I see Jeremiah and him like, man, I'm just so excited. I want to tell you about Jesus. Or I want to tell you about God. Even though it's a judgment, he still wants to tell them about how big God is and what God's going to do. So you better watch out. Julius also gets on to me when I speed, too. He's like, Dad, you better watch out. Mom, she's going to get you. But he, even though he acknowledges the problem, he still has a passion to do God's will. I pray that we do, too. Amen? That we have a passion to, even if it's difficult, even if it's not a warm, fuzzy feeling, we still have a passion. And he goes on, and he says this. He says, For I hear many whispering, terrors on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him. Say all my close friends, watching for my fall, perhaps he will be deceived, but we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. He's talking about his situation. And saying, you know, everyone is against me. But then he reminds himself in his prayer who is for him. He says, but the Lord is with me as a dreaded warrior. That's awesome. If that doesn't get your heart rate up, check your pulse. Because that is awesome, isn't it? He can acknowledge the problem, but still have passion for it. And even though he's in a situation where everybody's talking bad about him, everybody's going after him, and it's difficult, he says, guess what? But God is on my side, and he is a dreaded warrior. And he fights for me. I mean, to me, I wish I was an artist and I could draw a dreaded warrior. It still wouldn't, you know, be anything to what God is. But could you imagine, people, he strikes fear into the hearts of people that are against him. He's a dreaded warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. Man, I can't talk tonight, apparently. They will not overcome me. God fights for you and me. Right? He fights for you and me. He fights for us and with us. And he fights in us too, because sometimes he's got to change us. Amen? Or oh me. I mean, he fights, and he's fighting for his will. He's fighting for him to be revealed in us and through us. And that's amazing to me. It's amazing. And so tonight, what I was thinking about when I talk about Jeremiah is it's okay. Well, let me go back through. May we remember the power that we have in God. Amen? That he is with us. He knows us. He has set us apart. He has given us a purpose. Even though we have insecurities, even though we don't think we have what it takes, guess what? We have God, and he does have what it takes. And he puts his words and his will into our life. May we remember that. But may we, in our life, may we acknowledge the problem, but acknowledge our protector and who God is. And may, in that, may we move forward to reveal God's will. To even if it's not the happiest of sermons, but may we fight to reveal who God is. That's enough to me. I'm almost done, I promise. I probably shouldn't do that. For we all fall short of the glory of God. You ever think about what that means? We fall short of God's original intent for our lives. And so you go back and you go back to Genesis. What was God's original intent? For us to be a reflection of him, to live in his presence, to walk with him, to be a good steward of what he's given us, and to bring him glory. Right? That's pretty much Genesis, right? But Eve did what? She chose her intent, or the intent of the flesh, instead of God's will and God's intent. But because we have Jesus, he brings us back into the presence of God. And as a church, we are to reflect God's image And I can remember, reflect God's image, carry out His purpose, walk with Him, and bring Him glory. Even when that's difficult. Not just when it's easy. Even when it's difficult. May we know who our God is, and may we reveal God's glory by revealing His original intent. In the good, in the bad, and sometimes the ugly. And reveal who God is and have a passion for that. In everything that we do, may we bring God glory.